What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Defocus podcast. I'm joined by my good friend, Daryl Glover. Thank you so very much for being here with us today, because we are talking about one of our favorite conferences, Vision Expo. And we have a guest who knows everything there is to know about Vision Expo as a conference, because he is one of the biggest people, the sights and sounds that you want to be there to see. Welcome to the show, Dr. Matt Geller.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. It's early here in San Diego, but no better way to start the day than this and some coffee. But yeah.
It's a perfect combo, podcast and coffee. They go together great. Yes. So Vision Expo this year is coming up soon. The dates are September 13th through the 16th in sunny Las Vegas, Nevada. I know you're going to be there, Matt. So why don't we start just by talking about who you are and everything that you've made happen in such a short time in your career here in optometry.
Yeah, sure. I'm a lifelong learner and a modern philosopher, and I just happen to be in an optometrist's body. No. Yeah, so I'm Dr. Matt Geller, and from Long Island, New York, went to SUNY. When I was in SUNY in my first year, I started optometrystudents.com, and then about a year and a half or so afterwards, it was acquired by the AOA, and I got to work with Ari Baresi, the executive director at the time, and some of the executive leadership there to help out the association and do some major things in way of what was going on with student focus at that time and their focus on digital media and digital publications. So it was just absolutely the most amazing learning experience one could have. And I did that for about 4 or 5 years, but I knew when I graduated that I didn't, you know, the student focus wasn't primary, and so started newgradoptometry.com, and that site's now one of the largest online eye care publications. And what was born out of that was this project, which is now a full-time business. We have up to about 8 full-time employees this year, and it's a career development company for healthcare professionals. We're actually in the verticals of allied health as well as optometry, so that's your PTs, OTs, speech, things like that. And our goal is to help out new professionals with everything from job placements to mentorship and education around their career. So, you know, I hate to define myself by that kind of track record type of thing, but it does give context. I mean, you know, me as a person, absolutely in love with learning, with building businesses, with leadership, you know, bringing a team along with me on this amazing journey. But, you know, I do like my downtime, but hey, this is my downtime, and it involves more business stuff. So you get to see kind of what goes on in my head. This is just something that I love, and the people surrounding me, we love it as well.
I'm curious, because obviously newgradoptometry.com is super successful. Did you have a background in website design or any of these platforms before you started working in this?
No, I didn't have any background whatsoever. I just believe in the good old teacher of Google. You know, this is probably a conversation for a different time, but I think just like questioning the education system, especially the higher education system, and how needed is that in a world where so much is available? I think that the overall problem is that people are scared to be self-taught. They're scared to ask questions. And once they fail a few times, they're scared to pick themselves back up and keep trying. And, you know, for me, it was just constant. All right, let me try this. Let me, you know, what is WordPress? Okay, let's make a WordPress website. And the first ones were terrible. And, you know, you iterate and you move on and you improve, and the thing crashes and you lose all your data and you start again. And then you realize that, you know, you weren't tracking something correctly. And so the advertiser's mad at you and you try again. And it's that process of falling on your face a couple times, a couple bloody noses, and picking yourself back up that actually is education and learning for someone in the scrappy mode of building a business, which is a good way to do it. You know, same thing goes for not exactly like web or media production, but just, you know, I think overall things that you'd learn if you got an MBA or something like that, you really can learn very much, quote unquote, on the job by yourself. You just need to be willing to put that time in. You know, audible.com. Podcasts, those are my teachers, and I of course have a couple mentors which I get coffee with from time to time, and I'm constantly asking questions, and those people are invaluable.
One of the things I really love about what you do on that website is you really give a lot of doctors a forum to share their ideas, share their thoughts. You're not writing all the articles on there. You've got a team of doctors, and anyone can kind of apply. How many people write for New Grad right now?
It's a really good question. I was just forming a bit of a list to try to get some context on that. We've probably had over 150-175 writers at this point, but I'd say core contributors on a regular basis are a revolving pool of about 40 people or so. But across the other publications like physical therapy, New Grad Occupational Therapy, covalentcareers.com/blog, we're working at a time with close to probably 100 writers. It's pretty intense. But it's amazing. I mean, what we decided, it was really important for us to be able to pass the baton and give new professionals, young professionals, a stage for themselves. And that's what those publications are about. We try to say, you know, are you an influencer? Do you want to get your voice out there? What is your opinion? But if you're going to say it, you got to write it in a proactive, positive, friendly, light tone kind of fashion. It's got to be detailed. It's got to be keyword optimized for Google. We put them through a couple of hoops they've got to jump through. And what we end up with is really great content. But we're looking out for our writers. We try to make sure that the articles that they write just absolutely nail it. So it's a bit of a learning experience for them, which is great. And we, of course, love putting those folks on a tallest pedestal possible with the brightest light shining on them, because we want to pass the baton and give those people kind of a stage to grow.
One thing that you mentioned, I know, Daryl, we feel so much the same way about this. Putting something out there that's made by young doctors that's positive. Because when we were first going to school, Daryl, I know everything I was reading about optometry online was like, making me question, why am I so in love with this profession? I haven't even started yet. And everything I read are people talking about how much they hate this profession and they should have chose something else. And in a very short time, productions like yours and hopefully what Daryl and I are doing too, we're changing that image of optometry as this place where it's okay to feel great about this career. You've made an excellent choice and you love it and we do too.
Absolutely, Jen. I remember like it was just yesterday. And to be honest with you, as time went by, it got even worse simply because we started to see more schools being built and there was a lot of commotion about that. And then we started seeing more about disruptive technology. But that's why I'm thankful for platforms like New Grad Optometry, like Defocus Media. I mean, we're the new wave of optometrists out there, and our voice is going to be heard simply because we are giving positive feedback about the profession. We are reaching out to students. We are reaching out to millennial doctors. And I think as long as we continue doing what we're doing, we're going to make a significant impact on the overall industry and change our profession in a positive manner.
That's exactly right. It's similar to, you know, how why optometrystudents.com was started. I just saw so much negativity out there. Everyone was resting on their laurels. No one was being proactive. And I'm exaggerating a little bit. That's not exactly true. There's people doing a ton of stuff, but what was out there publicly on the web wasn't necessarily that. You know, it was the people who had a few more complaints, proactive people. And so publication was always geared to be positive, proactive, and giving other people the spotlight.
So Matt, New Grad Optometry has been making some waves in the optometric industry for several years now. When did you know that you had something special on your hands? Was there a certain article, a certain interview? When did you know that this was the next big thing?
Yeah, wow. I like that question. I would say we knew we were onto something when we were writing things for ourselves to help our own self, but just having, you know, the opportunity to put it out there publicly, and then people coming back to us and, you know, sending in emails or taking the time to stop us in the hallway at school or something like that and saying, thank you so much for putting this together. And for some reason, I can't remember what that was on optometrystudents.com. The coffee still hasn't arrived yet, so I'm worried. But, you know, on New Grad Optometry, these were things like 41-step guide with screenshots on how to get, credentialed on Medicare, you know, the full guide to get on VSP, how to get on CAQH. There was a huge play around insurance credentialing and licensing. And then we just started building out more of how to cross the void from student to new optometrist. And I think that's when we realized that there was quite a lot of content that was completely undocumented and that there was no hand-holding there. And I think the special thing now with Covalent Careers as well is that we're taking that to an in-person presence a bit more by providing mentors and what we call optometry or OD success managers who can help walk these people through it, you know, kind of free and just purely tailored to them.
Why don't we talk a little bit more about Covalent Careers? So when did you decide to start this second business and what was the inspiration there?
Yeah, the inspiration behind Covalent Careers was that we were getting a ton of inquiries on New Grad Optometry from employers saying, I can't find your job board. Where are your new graduates? I'm trying to hire them. And whenever someone's asking you for something like that or, you know, exchanging dollars for value, you know, there's a business opportunity there. So we kind of listen to our users. That's a mantra of ours, is how do we, you know, listen to our users more and more. And they were asking to hire, our user base. So, I contacted, first person I called was my brother, who's now our CTO, Josh. And I said, hey, man, there's this thing going on. I'm seeing employers wanting to find a very specific set of new graduates. And he said, cool, let's make some technology around it. And that, you know, from there really just took off. He started to, you know, take part, you know, day off here, day off there from work to scrap together you know, a minimum viable product, something that we can release and see if it worked, kind of, you know, iterate slowly. But fast forward a little bit, you know, I'd say it was about a year and a half ago when I stopped seeing patients to pursue the business full time. We only had about 3 employees at that time, 3 team members. And, you know, it was about a year ago, we got office space here in San Diego. And now we've got 3 open positions. We'll be at 8 or 9 people in the next few months. So it got started from listening to users. It got started from listening to people's feedback. But we also knew that, you know, just looking at the industry as a whole, it wasn't the most friendly industry. And there was a lot of pieces missing. There was very much just, how do we either skim a job board and, you know, you call or send in your resume, or how does a recruiter sometimes force you in the best position possible? And we came up with a bit of a hybrid approach that sprinkles in some really good technology, and the rest was history.
Man, I think that's a great mantra to have, the concept of listening. I mean, it goes a very long way. In your case, it turned out to be a whole new business. In addition to listening and taking in feedback, I think another big part of business is also the concept of networking. And hands down, for me, and I believe Jen has the same feeling, the Vision Expo provides the best place for networking. What tips and strategies do you have for newcomers going to the Vision Expo, or even more experienced Vision Expoers that you would recommend for networking?
Yeah, I think just by showing up to a show like Vision Expo. Now, you know, I've been going to Vision Expo since probably 2007, I would say. So it's almost 10 years of shows, nonstop, consistent every year. First, I went as a pre-optometry student, then as a student, then more of as an exhibitor. And what I've found is that there's just a certain level of, it's just like a threshold to show up and to be there, is the cost that one must pay to be, I think, a mover and a shaker, or an influencer, or really be doing something special in eye care. And I mean that because if you're there, there's the other movers and shakers there. There's the other important people there. And it's kind of just this cost to pay to show up to be considered as part of that group, because that's where the networking is happening. And that's where the conversations are happening. And that's where the deals are forming. And if you want to even get a small slice of that, you've got to show up. So showing up is the first part, obviously. I mean, showing up is something I will always do because of the East Coast, West Coast side of that show and the reliability of getting certain people there every time. When it comes to specific networking tactics, I think you've got to really plan ahead. You know, it's not difficult to email a couple people beforehand and say, can I get on your calendar? I use Calendly.com for pretty much all my calendar scheduling. So that's another small hack if you want to improve your calendar efficiencies. When I was a bit earlier on and really getting started, you know, this is something other folks may have heard me say before, so I don't want to sound like a broken record, but when you're networking, always go in small groups. So you never really want to go and approach other people with, I'd say, more than 2 other people. But really, you're looking for 1 partner in crime. And I mean that because, say, like I'm going up to the Zeiss sales rep to build a relationship or start talking with them about whatever that might be. Maybe I want to build a medical optometry practice one day. Going up to a Zeiss sales rep, and I'm saying, you know, with a group of, say, 4, 6, 8 other people, which is so common, hey, my name is Matt. Great to meet you. And then that person's got to go around and shake everyone's hand and meet everyone. They don't remember a single person's name. You're trying to get a single comment in. There's noise in the background. Someone starts laughing. You give them their business. And like, there's nothing that's substantive. Nothing happens there. But if you go with 1 other person, you actually have a human conversation. You're actually able to dig in longer. You capture their attention for longer. And you can, you know, get your point across. And so I think that's the main thing. People come up to me all the time to meet and want to network. They come up in a big group and it's very difficult to remember them or to have that connection. So that's like a little kind of hack type of thing.
Absolutely, man. I think you hit the nail on the head. Moving in smaller groups just makes it so much easier to network and communicate with doctors or companies. That way you can grow a great relationship and build something amazing for the future. The other thing that I would add is just also figure out ways to create value for these companies, and also make sure that you're well-versed in their technology or their product as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that I always kind of try to talk about, and this gets difficult unless I provide very specific examples, but when you're going up to someone to talk with them or network with them, there's a reason you're going up to them. Most likely, they either are like kind of at your level or maybe a little bit higher, right? Maybe the value that they can bring to the table is a little bit higher. And so, you know, someone like that is busy. They're not necessarily here to fill up your cup, to give you what they have. They've got life going on, you know, and a business going on. So it's really important when you go to these people that you have to go with the mentality of, I'm here to solve their problems and I'm here to provide them value. I think if someone came up to me and said something along the lines of, can you do this for me or answer these questions or, you know, come and speak or whatever that might be, I'm cool with that. We'll make that happen. But it's not the same as someone coming up to me and saying, hey, Matt, did my research. You're really in the publication game, and I'd love to help you out with the search engine strategy and maybe take a look at it for you. Hey, Matt, I know you're in the space of employment and helping docs find new positions, and I would love to survey my class of students to find out what they like or don't like about the current state of affairs and hiring and get that to you. That would blow my mind. I mean, that is a totally different approach of someone coming up to me and saying, here, I've got some value for you. I've got something I can contribute. I've got something I'm going to do. You sit back and relax, I'll bring it to you. I mean, that is truly an amazing relationship to build. And for the people I really want to build relationships with, I go to them, I find out what their pain points are, and then I come back to them and try to solve them. I just don't go up to them and start saying, answer my laundry list of questions or contact this person or network with that person. And you've got to come up with a specific example yourself for what matters to you and what matters in that case in point. I always like starting with the question of what are your pain points and what are your goals this year? You can find a lot of insight in that. And always be personal. Things don't have to jump to business so quick. It's really important to keep things personal and find out someone's background and find commonalities there. Catch the vibe first before you jump into business.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the great thing about conferences, right? You've got everybody there with a booth that you can walk up to, and you have access to creative thinkers, people that are trying to come up with new ways to reach OD audiences and our patients, of course. So it's a great time if you have an idea for something that's new or different or a new way to access the people they're trying to access. The show is a place to start those conversations and get those business cards to make those relationships. I want to ask you a little bit, because I noticed when I was hanging out with you at Vision Expo recently, you come dressed to impress. So what is your advice on what people should wear on the show floor?
Thank you. I try to break down the wardrobe. I feel like I try to be as Mark Zuckerberg as possible and just keep the wardrobe extremely simple. I don't like too many decisions to make. If it was up to me, I'd honestly just wear a t-shirt and jeans every single day. So I think it's really important to portray yourself as a professional, but also to be true and honest to your style. And I've heard from a lot of people the pressing need for me to wear a tie or a more formal suit. And it's just not me. I would not be authentic in any way, shape, or form. I wouldn't be comfortable, and I wouldn't be able to, the things that I say and do wouldn't resonate with that attire. Not that, you know, some people fashion is really important to, and some people it's not, and I get that, and that's fine, but, you do need to present yourself well. So, you know, I'd say, you know, Vision Expo attire, if you're in the networking kind of mood, I wear just dark jeans, you know, some really nice dark, you know, Diesel or Seven or something like that, you know, a crisp, you know, button down, and just a light kind of sports jacket. So, you know, Topshop, Topman, they have really good inexpensive jackets. Suit Supply does as well. I try to avoid the suit, to be honest with you, and just go with some jeans, button down, and a blazer. Nice watch. You know, comfortable shoes for the show. It's definitely going to be, always invest in good shoes. Don't buy crummy shoes. I'm all about that. Because they need to last. So get yourself a nice Ferragamo, something like that. The last E10 Vision Expo is just like mine did. But it's important to set that stage and have some fun while you're doing it. You want to feel like $1 million. It's going to help you in a moment of needing to be confident. And, you know, that's another great way to, like I said, jump to the personal side. If you find someone who's, you know, attire is similar to yours or who has the same style as yours, it's great to be able to comment on those things and start building commonalities that way. So that's why it's important to be authentic as well.
Oh, absolutely. I have one other little word of advice for the ladies, because Daryl and I were working the last Vision Expo pretty hard, and I was trying to look real cute in some heels, and my feet, I was like bleeding by the end of the conference, which is not cute anymore. So I took this tip. I saw Dr. Bridget Shinley. I was hanging out with her, and she had on like these really comfortable broken-in flats. And then when she was going to go present or go up to something big that she wanted to like look a different way, she had this like magic Mary Poppins bag full of things, and she pulled out her heels and then switched into them. Ladies, if you've got presentations to give or speaking opportunities or times where you've got to look real nice, maybe bring a change of shoes, since we don't have the luxury always of guy comfy shoes to look our best in.
Yeah, shout out to Bridget. She's awesome.
Yeah, she is. She's totally awesome and a wealth of knowledge as well. Speaking of knowledge, let's switch gears and talk about the continuing education at the Vision Expo. This year, they're offering over 320 hours of continuing education hours, including 20 specialty tracks. Matt, what tips do you have for those that are interested in pursuing continuing education at the Vision Expo?
Yeah, I mean, for me, here in California, we have a pretty high requirement for glaucoma-specific and medical-specific CE, so I'll be doing a little bit of that this year. I think you got to kind of chase down the speaker that you really like. I like Maury Fingerhead, or Gaddy is a big favorite of mine, so you know, those folks are there, and you can definitely catch some great CE. The thing with Vision Expo for me, it's interesting. We're usually hosting our own kind of content, and it's kind of rare that I get to go around and see. I would say 100% those Google Talks that are going on.
Got kind of an interesting perspective, because obviously you were regular attendee to Vision Expo for years, and now you're actually one of the exhibitors, and you have booth for both new grad optometry and covalent career. So tell us what you guys are bringing to the exhibit hall floor this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think this will be like our sixth show with new grad optometry, covalent careers booth. So it's really exciting, and big shout out to Vision Expo for making this part of their young professionals club track. I try to call out as often as possible companies that are really supporting young professionals and new graduates, because it's important. It's important to our user base, and the Vision Expo is absolutely one of those shows and one of the companies going above and beyond there. We've got a 30 by 20 booth in the back near where a lot of the other education goes on, back left near the food court. You can't miss us. There's like a massive sign hanging over the booth saying Covalent Careers New Grad Optometry. And what we're doing is these free pop-up talks or live talks at the show. We're doing 9 of them this year. We're also filming a ton of social media films and other short films. So that's really exciting. The content we're putting on this year is starting Thursday. I'll go through the topics for you guys. How to incentivize and compensate your staff. That's with Jay Binkowitz, Evan Kestenbaum, myself. That's a really important one, I think. Treating your team well is critical. How to manage your personal finances and taxes as an optometrist. I've got our CPA and a CFP coming out for this one. I think it's going to be one of the best talks that we put out. Daryl, you talked about before, what's the content that really gets people to perk up? And I think this is going to be one of them. Such an important topic. The basics of coding and billing that you can actually use in practice. It's a Q&A with Dr. Eric Botts, who's with Optometric Billing Consultants. You can see his site at claimdoctor.com, but that's a fantastic panel that we're going to do to, you know, answer questions and make those who aren't so good at coding and billing a bit better. On Friday, at 11:30, we've got how to expand your optometry career, patient care. So I would love for you guys to be on that one. But we got Aaron Leck, Will Toe, a few other folks. Friday at 1, we've got how to build a dry eye practice that generates new revenue with some new graduate speakers and more experienced doctor speakers. Friday at 3, practice management tips to make the most out of each day in your office. We've got no one other than the one and only John Rumpakis on that one, so I'm excited. Saturday at 11:30, how to cross the void from student to new optometrist. We've got a couple of students and new ODs on that one. I'll be sitting on that one as well. Saturday at 1, how to be a practice CEO that crushes goals and crushes competition. How do you like that for a headline?
That's really good.
Yep, I'm excited for that one. I must have said that like 60 times now. I'm just really excited about all of this. And Saturday at 2:30, Staffing 101, sourcing, recruiting, and retaining great employees. We have got the whole Covalent Careers team on that one.
Really, obviously, you're going to get great continuing education there too. But the great thing about Vision Expo is you really could just spend your entire time on the exhibit floor. There's so many different ways to spend your time, and there's never enough time to get all of it at once. But like you said, partnering with the Young Professionals Club, I mean, you can get exhibit hall floor registration for free. So you can be there at no cost to you, which is amazing as a young doc, because we're still trying to pay our loans back. So
also, Jen, don't forget, you get 6 free hours of continuing education also if you're part of the Young Professionals Club. And also for more details, just check out visionexpo.com/YPC. It has all the details there.
I think it's hard, you know, for someone who's debating on going, or debating on any decision for that matter, something that involves time and resources. You know, even though Vision Expo was providing those things, you still need to make the travel. You still got to take the time. I get that. But your life is in your hands. We have to take the time to take certain risks. I'd say this isn't very risky, but you have to take a certain risk and jump in with both feet and say, I'm going to make the most out of this. For those that don't feel that or don't believe that, this isn't the show for you. But if you're trying to do something with your career and make it special and do more than just get CE, and you really want to kind of up the ante, this is the spot to do it. And I personally don't know anyone who's not trying to do at least some improvement of their career. But this is the spot to network, to learn new things, to find new opportunities, talk with someone like me or Jen and Daryl and do something new, find out a new opportunity, what's hot.
Well, one other really cool thing that you're doing this year that I've never seen anyone do before, Covalent Careers is going to have people there live to help you with job opportunities. So kind of like this one-on-one hiring opportunity.
Yeah, so we start with that on the online presence. Actually, if you have your profile on Covalent Careers, you can, whether you're an employer or a job seeker, you could check off the days you're going to Vision Expo so that other people populate, so you could see the practices that'll be there as well, or so an employer can see the job seekers that'll be there as well. So that's a cool feature you can do online, and then, you know, be able to network in person. But for folks that don't want to use that at the show, we've got our whole team out there, and everyone really kind of knows our mantra, the way we like to support people's careers and the advice we like to give. And we're there to provide that, whether that's a question around salary negotiations or contract negotiations, or whether it's really just, hey, I'm moving to Kansas and I need a position. We'll just open up the platform right then and there, look at what available opportunities there are. And if there are none, start scouting one out for you. So our team is 100% always there for our users, whether that's through our online chat, you can always catch us, or by picking up the phone, 858-246-7066. Talk to you for as long as you need to, but we're very much there to make an impact, private practice and retail, corporate, whatever it is, whatever floats your boat, non-clinical optometry.
We did this a little bit with Dr. Bazan, who's an expert on New York, of course, and Vision Expo East, but I want to get, like, do you have any insider tips on how to make the most of Las Vegas while you're there for Expo?
Yeah, it's a good question. Now we're getting personal. Well, you know, Saturday night when the show's over and everyone and our team is done and did a great job, we'll usually go out and do something really special. I'd say if you want to make the least of the show, don't be partying too much on the nights, like Thursday night or Friday night, because you're going to wake up the next day feeling like hell. So just get a good dinner, get some good sleep. But the night on Saturday night, I would say, I don't know who's DJing this year, but you know, Vegas has transformed into a place that hosts residencies for the best DJs in the world. You know, Avicii or David Guetta or Porter Robinson, you name it. And so there's fantastic live music. The clubs are something to truly witness and experience. There's nothing like it out there, where a lot of people come together in one big party. So I would say that's up my alley. And we usually will do that at XS, Nightclub, Marquee, I think that's at Cosmopolitan. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, go to one of the parties and have a great time there. Go with some friends. But otherwise, you know, I think there's some really good nightlife for food and restaurant there. So that's a great way to do it. But for me, it's experience one of those DJs, one of those big parties. And if you can do a day party too, if you're staying on Sunday and, you know, Encore Beach Club is incredible. So that's for your younger, newer professional, I'd say, at that age, who wants to do a little bit of partying.
Work hard, play hard is a strong sort of rule to live by in optometry. So you got to unwind somehow.
I know that's right, Jen. But Matt, you've been attending Vision Expo for about 10 years now. So tell us, what's the most memorable moment that you experienced? And don't apply the rules of what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Let us know what's the most memorable moment that you experienced. It could be in New York, it could be in Vegas, but just let us know what's the most memorable experience.
Yeah, great question, Daryl. Let me think about that one. I think there's a few that stand out. I'd love to go through them all, but I think it was Vision Expo East 2016, fairly recently. My good friends at Allergan, who I've built a relationship with for quite a while, had a CEO of the company, Brent Saunders, come out to once again, something I've been saying, talk to users, get feedback, critical for small company, critical for a big company. And that's what he wanted to know. He wanted to hear from us, from the eye doctor perspective, but also how their Jumpstart program was doing, that kind of thing. And I got an opportunity to speak with him and for him to ask feedback on what Allergan could be doing better. And I just remember I kind of shot out an idea and he was like, we got to get this guy on the marketing team. And I ended up doing some consulting work with them after around marketing, which was really cool. But it was just this moment of like I said, with networking, I just had to say yes. I mean, I had to wake up so early for that thing. You know, it was like insane. I was jet lagged and, you know, I didn't have to, but saying yes sometimes and just jumping in with both feet, taking a risk, you don't know what's going to happen. And now I've got building a relationship with that individual. It's pretty incredible. And with the company more so. That was memorable. That was really cool to have that, to witness that, and to understand that someone who leads such a large enterprise is equally as human as us, has those humble qualities, and you know, helped me too. I have the CEO role here at Covalent Careers, and I'm always trying to learn from other people how to be better.
I mean, that story, like you said, it just goes to tell you the importance of saying yes. I mean, so many opportunities that people get is just because they were willing to put themselves out there in that moment, where it probably would have been easier to just go back to your hotel and sleep. But mm-hmm. saying yes opens doors to so many other opportunities that you really want to say yes to when you get the chance. So it's just so exciting that you can be at a place where things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. It's been incredible. That's crazy. This is my 10th anniversary. I'm seriously going to bring a bottle of champagne in my check bag to pop alone or with everyone. Who knows? But I think it's a dessert.
Oh, Matt, you can't pop champagne by yourself. You bring the bottle, I'll bring the glasses, I'll match your bottle, we'll have a good time.
Well, no better way to celebrate 10 years than to be a visionary this year. So it's like, that's very poetic.
yeah, no, I'm super fortunate and humbled to have that experience. And, you know, for me, visionary is just, I want to be able to help other people on their visionary journey. So, you know, I feel like I've got some unique ideas in this field, but I want to hear those of others and for their unique ideas to be brought to the light. And whether we can do that through newgradoptometry.com or just by having a conversation with me or for me referring them to you guys. I think other people, you know, should say their ideas loud and proud.
Well, you guys, if you want to hang out with Matt Geller and all the cool kids at New Grad Optometry and Covalent Careers, you know that the place to be September 13th to the 16th is Vision Expo West. It's at the Sands Expo. You can register right now at visionexpowest.com. And don't forget about the free exhibit hall registration and free CE classes from being a Young Professional Club member.
Matt, Jen and I had a blast. Thank you greatly for being a part of the show today. What's the best way for our followers or listeners to contact you if they have any questions about Vision Expo, New Grad Optometry, or Covalent Careers?
You can shoot me an email at matt@covalentcareers.com. Stay tuned to what's going on newgradoptometry.com by registering in the upper right hand corner. And that way you'll be able to be in tune with all our updates and our newsletter. We do like the least amount of email, honestly, in the entire profession, I'd say. We do not spam people. Send out like an email or two a month. So it's really potent stuff.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.